It's back to the future for retailers as online shops gain brick-and-mortar stores. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a Washington Post columnist and entrepreneur about how retail is shaking out in the age of Amazon. And that discussion starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As you've no doubt heard, Amazon.com sells stuff, like billions of things. Amazon also has a tendency to blast other retailers out of the water if it enters a new retail space. One prominent analyst has said that partnering with Amazon is much like how a virus partners with its host. More on that later. Over the shopping days referred to as the Turkey Five, the 5 days from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday, customers ordered nearly 140 million items from small businesses worldwide on Amazon. Smaller businesses need to have an Amazon strategy so they can leverage the incredible scale and reach that Amazon has and not get gobbled up by it. Here's my chat with an expert in retailing from large to small.
Gene Marks, Washington Post columnist and small business owner.
Yeah, let's start there. What small business do you own, Gene?
So I have a 10-person company outside of Philadelphia, and we're a technology consulting firm. We sell customer relationship marketing applications.
Very cool. Okay, I want to talk with you about retail. We're coming out of the holiday season and stuff. Did you have any, like, 2-inch headlines or big takeaways from the data that you saw about holiday retail?
Yeah, there's a couple takeaways. First of all, it was a good holiday season. You know, most retailers, particularly brick and mortar, did well. Obviously, some of them were exceptions, but it was a good holiday season for retail. The big story in 2017, which really it has been for the past few years, is online. Their online merchants themselves had a spectacular year. Amazon alone, during the holiday season, the small merchants selling on Amazon, which make up 50% of Amazon shipments, they sold more than a billion products during just the holiday season alone, 140 million items over the Thanksgiving weekend alone. So the small merchants on Amazon, those guys in the e-commerce world, they rocked it during 2017.
Let's stay there for a second again, because it seems like if you're a retailer, you need to have an Amazon strategy of some sort, right? You have to have a presence and whatnot, and that can probably cut
100%.
Both ways. Well, what are some things that you're seeing smaller merchants use when it comes to leveraging Amazon?
First of all, it's so true that you need to have an Amazon strategy if you're a retailer. I mean, if you gone are the days where you can just be brick and mortar, and I think gone are the days or going are the days where you can just be e-commerce. To me, the smartest clients that I meet, the savviest entrepreneurs, they have their brick and mortar presence. They do, you know, the retail thing, but they combine it with another channel, an online channel. And when clients ask me, like, well, okay, we do want to sell online, where do we go? To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm like, well, you know, Amazon has like 300 million customers, right? So you set up a market on Amazon, you join their marketplace, you can do it yourself, you can hire, you know, an expert to help you, they give you all the tools to sell on there, and you just open yourself up to a big world. And what it does is that those customers that come into your store, Jason, they might not decide to buy just then and there, because we all want choices or we all want to think about it. You want to give them the opportunity and the option that when they go home and they say, yeah, I think I am going to buy that, they should be able to, boom, go right to your Amazon store and get it from you there. You're just giving people more options to buy.
Oh, that makes sense. It's interesting to hear you say about the brick and mortar thing, that people should have presences in physical and digital atmospheres.
Yep.
You may be familiar with Scott Galloway and L2, and he is a marketing consultant as well as a professor. And he says that online presences need to get more investment and then build brick and mortar stores. I mean, just physically just go ahead and start doing that. And you said you've seen smart clients doing that kind of thing too. Can you name names or at least categories?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to a little pharmacy that's right near me, actually where I used to live up until like 2 years ago. It's in Lower Merion, Pennsylvania. And it's a little pharmacy that's called Babbitt's Pharmacy. And you know what they did? They're like an independent pharmacy that's battling against the likes of, you know, the CVS's and the Rite Aid's and all of that. They started up a little gift business, you know, for like chocolates and things like that. They were selling it out of their pharmacy. They set up a store on Amazon to also sell online as well. And their online sales now rival what their in-store sales are. So I deal with small businesses, Jason. So they're not national brand names like a Walmart, but they're companies that they're looking to expand their customer base beyond just people that walk in their doors. And the guys at Babbitts are a perfect example of a company that they literally doubled their sales because they're taking advantage not only of people coming in their store, but also all the people that want to buy their stuff online. And they're selling to customers from all around the country, not just people that live in Lower Merion, Pennsylvania. That's what smart retailers are doing.
That's a great case study. Gene Marks, thank you so much for your time. This has been a pleasure.
Thanks. Take care, Jason.
That was Gene Marks. Gene stays busy. Marks writes a daily column for the Washington Post on business and public policy. He also writes weekly for Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, Inc. Magazine, and periodically for the Huffington Post and FoxBusiness.com. One blind spot small businesses will have to cope with when dealing with Amazon is the site's returns policy. The no questions asked approach can be tough for smaller businesses to handle. That's just something to watch out for. Let's close out this segment with some more talk about Amazon, namely the Amazon Go store that launched in Seattle recently. Amazon Go is a convenience store that has no cashier, hence no lines. Users download the Amazon Go app, scan a QR code upon entry, shop, and then just walk out. A receipt for your purchases lands in your email account or text. The technology here is amazing and invasive. If you're willing to surrender that last little bit of personal privacy, next level convenience is just around the corner. This is a constant payoff, isn't it? Hundreds of cameras in the store follow you. It's not facial recognition, which has been reported, but hands and arms and such. Item placement on the shelf is the key to things going smoothly for shoppers and for Amazon. Besides the Big Brother aspect, Amazon Go offers the most recognizable pop culture headline that represents the existential threat of artificial intelligence, the loss of human jobs. 3.4 million people work as cashiers in this country. So if Amazon wanted to lease its Go technology to, say, Macy's, that's another leg whip to the labor market, etc., and so on. Rinse and repeat. Here's former guest and NYU Stern School of Business Professor Scott Galloway with what I consider to be a prescient hot take on Amazon overall.
Today, the market capitalization of Sears is $430 million, and Amazon is approaching $600 billion, or approximately 1,400 times what Sears is worth. And Amazon operates 75 fulfillment centers, or put another way, there's an Amazon warehouse within 20 miles of half the U.S. population. And some of those warehouses are shipping more than a million items a day. So this year, there will be 170,000 fewer retail jobs in the United States. But don't worry, Amazon added 55,000 robots to its workforce. Everybody's looking for a silver bullet or some sort of magic pixie dust to compete with Amazon. The first thing I tell boards when asked, how do we compete with Amazon? Is unfortunately, you lower your profit expectations. How do you compete with a company that doesn't want to be profitable? Bottom line, you reinvest more in the consumer experience.
Professor Galloway has written a bestseller. It's called The Four. It's based on the premise that these tech companies need to be broken up: Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. His reason, in a broad stroke, is that these companies stifle competition because they're simply so dominant. Now, keep in mind, Google would not exist if Microsoft had not been stiff-armed with regulatory government oversight back in the day. Another way to put it from Galloway?
In the 20th century, big tech saved the world. In the 21st, it's f***ing it up. We'll see you next week.
I'm just going to leave that right there. That's it for this week's show. Please find me on Twitter. I'm at KGOJason, or you can check out our library of shows and extended interview podcasts. Those live on Stitcher or Audio Boom or pretty much everywhere you graze for podcasts. Just keyword search Techonomics. Producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony. I'm host and writer Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening to Techonomics, and have great weeks, everybody.